Good afternoon. I'd like to start by acknowledging my co-authors listed here from the California Department of Public Health STD Control Branch, as well as our colleague from Kaiser Permanente, Northern California. Oh, you can't hear? Is that all right? Okay. Come on in and take a seat. The goal of chlamydia and gonorrhea screening is to identify and treat asymptomatic infections and to prevent pelvic inflammatory disease, also known as PID. Encouragingly, we have seen that screening rates for chlamydia and gonorrhea have risen in the past 10 years. However, the question remains, are those increases in screening rates accompanied by any decreases in the incidence of PID? Unfortunately, we have a limited ability to capture PID outcomes in screen populations for surveillance and evaluations for a number of reasons. Case-based surveillance tends to be skewed toward reporting of hospitalized PID and may actually underestimate outpatient PID. At the same time, administrative databases capturing screening and PID have not been fully explored and actually offer a potential opportunity to improve our PID surveillance. Ultimately, novel methods are needed for identifying and comparing PID rates across subgroups and to monitor trends. In this talk, we are focusing on an administrative data set that seems appropriate for developing these new methods for capturing PID. This data set has been made available to us through the California Public Health Improvement Project collaboration with Kaiser Permanente Northern California. Kaiser Permanente Northern California is a staff model HMO serving approximately one out of every three residents in the Northern California Bay Area region, which accounts for over 3 million enrollees. This graph shows Kaiser performance on the chlamydia HEDIS measure, which is the proportion of young sexually active females that were screened in the previous 12 months. The HEDIS rates for adolescents and young adult female, sexually active females rose from approximately 40 to 50% in 2000 when monitoring began to nearly 70% by 2007. These chlamydia screening rates place Kaiser Permanente of Northern California at the 95th percentile or higher throughout this entire period of monitoring. However, the potential impact on adverse outcomes associated with chlamydia, such as PID, in this population is not yet known. Oh, sorry. That was the graph. I'm sorry. So our study objective was then to estimate rates of outpatient PID among young sexually active females seeking care in managed care settings with high chlamydia screening coverage. To achieve this first objective, we have as a second objective to develop and compare measures of PID incidence across subgroups of enrollees. Our methods were based on the following. The design and analysis were cross-sectional, and the two administrative data sets available were the Kaiser Permanente Northern California Outpatient Clinical Encounter, or OSCAR, data from all 53 facilities, and the Kaiser Regional Laboratory data on chlamydia testing. All enrollees have a unique medical record number, which enables them to be identified over time and across data sets. Here are the inclusion criteria. The time frame was based on the date of diagnosis and test dates from January 1, 2003 through December 31, 2007. Female Kaiser enrollees ages 15 through 44. An OSCAR diagnosis or clinical diagnosis of PID during the study period and or a chlamydia test performed during the same study period. And here are the outcome measures. PID diagnoses per 1,000 chlamydia tests, PID per 1,000 unique females tested, PID diagnoses per 1,000 chlamydia positive females within 30 days to 1 year of the of chlamydia positive date, and lastly, chlamydia positivity among PID cases based on linking them to a chlamydia test within 30 days of their PID diagnosis. This flowchart shows overall chlamydia and gonorrhea testing results among over 538,000 females aged 15 to 44 during 2003 to 2007 in Kaiser, Northern California. The chlamydia results are shown in orange boxes and the gonorrhea results are shown in the blue. Looking first at the chlamydia results in the orange boxes, we see that of the over 841,000 chlamydia tests performed, nearly half of the tests were performed in older women. However, we see that younger females had higher chlamydia positivity at 3.9% compared with older females at less than 1%. Now let's go look at the gonorrhea results in the blue boxes. And here you see of the 755,000 gonorrhea tests performed, overall gonorrhea positivity was substantially lower when compared with chlamydia. However, younger females still had higher gonorrhea positivity at 1.5% compared with only 0.2% among the older females. Now let's look at the PID outcomes among these women. This table shows for younger and older age groups the number of PID outcomes in the second column, followed by the number of PID cases per 1,000 chlamydia tests, then the number of PID cases per 1,000 unique females tested, and then it's followed by the number of PID cases amongst the chlamydia-positive females only. Although the total number of PID cases identified was similar for both age groups at just over 2,000 as seen in the second column, the PID rate per 1,000 tests was actually higher for older females at 6.3 versus 4 for younger females. Recall that both the chlamydia and gonorrhea prevalence was much lower among the older women compared to the younger women. This PID rate may also reflect selective screening for chlamydia among higher risk older females in comparison to screening among asymptomatic younger females. Let's look at the fourth column, and we see higher PID rates were still seen for the older women when the denominator was based on unique tested females rather than tests, 8.5 versus 6.7 per 1,000 unique tested females in that age group. When we look at the last column, we see that the PID rate among just chlamydia-positive females was higher than previous rates at over 12.7 per 1,000 chlamydia cases overall. However, with this denominator, we also see that there are higher rates of PID among younger chlamydia positives at 13.4 compared to 10.5 among the older chlamydia positives, a reversal of the pattern in the other columns. Next, let's look at chlamydia and gonorrhea prevalence among the PID cases. 61% of the PID cases were matched to a chlamydia or gonorrhea test within 30 days of the diagnosis date. Overall, chlamydia and gonorrhea positivity among PID cases was high, with 11.8% chlamydia positive and 6% gonorrhea positive, well above the initial positivity based on the screening results I presented earlier. Additionally, young PID cases had higher chlamydia and gonorrhea positivity when compared with the older PID cases, 17.3% versus 5.7% for chlamydia and 8.7% versus 3.7% for gonorrhea. So a summary of findings for this managed care population. First, older females who have been tested for chlamydia have higher rates of PID compared to younger tested females. This is consistent with other data sources showing higher PID rates among women over the age of 25. Second, chlamydia cases have higher PID rates compared to non-cases, especially among younger chlamydia cases. This continues to support the need for screening young women to identify and treat chlamydia infection to reduce chlamydia prevalence in that young age group. And finally, chlamydia and gonorrhea prevalence was high among PID cases and higher than baseline prevalence and higher among younger versus older cases. This finding, too, also supports the need for screening adolescent and young adult females for chlamydia. However, in contrast, it's unknown what other bacterial etiology is important for understanding PID risk among older women in this population. There were three main limitations to the analysis that we conducted. First, with respect to case ascertainment, there were likely inconsistent clinical diagnostic criteria applied across departments and providers. There was no validation of diagnostic codes against medical records, and thus there was potential for lower sensitivity and specificity of the case definition due to misclassification of PID cases. And lastly, there were no other data available related to the prevalence of other PID-associated organisms and conditions such as anaerobic bacteria, mycoplasmas, and bacterial vaginosis to evaluate their current role in PID in addition to that of chlamydia and gonorrhea, especially among older PID cases. The recommendations based on these findings are as follows. We should continue to explore administrative data sets for ongoing monitoring of outpatient chlamydial and gonococcal PID among women seeking care in the private sector. We do need to validate administrative diagnosis codes, however, against medical records to better understand the performance of this case-finding approach. And lastly, we should monitor PID rates among all women accessing care in Kaiser Permanente, Northern California, not just those receiving tests. In the future, we will be constructing age-specific PID rates based on the numbers of all female enrollees accessing care in Kaiser. So thanks again to our great Kaiser Healthcare and Public Health partners, and to you. And so I'm happy to take questions. Thank you. No, we the question was, how did we actually assess chlamydia and gonorrhea positivity using the administrative data set? And I, back in the methods section, I mentioned that we get regional laboratory test transmissions, line-listed records with test results for every woman, and there's a unique medical record number, so we actually can identify who's been tested, what the result was, and link that information to eventual later outcomes of PID, as well as positivity at the diagnosis. Great, thank you.